Let's get right to the Tire Kingdom leaderboard and talk about a couple of the tournaments, as I mentioned, that are going on. The Tire Kingdom leaderboard is brought to you, obviously, by Tire Kingdom. Service, brakes, batteries, and more. Call 1-800-NEW-TIRE to be directly connected to your closest Tire Kingdom. And we'll start right here in the U.S. with the Chevron World Challenge. This is hosted by Tiger Woods, and he's not playing, obviously, injured, out with that knee. But I believe he's actually on site for this one. He was not for his AT&T around the 4th of July in Washington. The knee was giving him too much difficulty at that point, but he is there for this one. And Anthony Kim, kind of his protege, leading this thing at 8-under, had a great 67, 5-under yesterday to take the lead from Jim Furyk, who had been leading the previous 2 days and would have had the lead if he didn't double bogey the last hole, which is not that difficult a hole. Jim hit a very uncharacteristic, I think it was a wedge shot right into the water. It was a terrible shot for Jim. So he's going to have to battle from behind in this one. He's one shot back, 7-under. Then you've got three guys at 6, Vijay Singh, Steve Stricker, Camilo Villegas at 6-under. And then it falls off from there. Hunter Mahan, 3-under. KJ Choi, 2-under, along with Freddie Couples at 2-under. And then most of the guys after that, it's a limited field. There's only 16 guys in this field, pretty much out of it at this point. So the guys 6-under and better are pretty much going to have the chance to win this thing, and we'll see how that comes about. There is another tournament across the Atlantic over in South Africa. Lee Westwood had a 4-under-68 yesterday to take a two-shot lead in the third round of the South African Open Championship. Two shots in front of the overnight leader, Michael Lorenzo Vera of France, who had a 72, and he's tied for second with Northern Ireland's Gareth Mabin, who had a 69. Three shots back is Retief Goosen, former two-time U.S. Open champion, and George Coetzee, both South Africans, tied for fourth. Ernie Els also in this tournament shot a horrendous 77 yesterday, and he's pretty much out of it. So those are the two leaderboards, and I'll bring Peter in at this point. Peter, this is one of the things that Russ and I always battle back and forth about as we get to this time of year. Hey, I love golf. I know you love golf. But at some point, enough's enough. We're almost at Christmas now. We're still talking about golf. You know, my whole thing is make golf special, like football is. And I know, golf's a different sport. You're playing it 4 days a week. Football really is able to concentrate basically on Sundays, and they can build that drama as the week goes on. But golf can be somewhat the same, I believe, if at least you narrow the schedule maybe. And my thought is, hey, start it, after the Super Bowl, sometime like mid-February, go to Hawaii. I love, the palm trees. Even though we live in a similar environment here, nonetheless, a large part of the country is still freezing, their butts off. And it is nice to kind of see Hawaii and those types of things. So start the season maybe the week after the Super Bowl and then end it around Labor Day. I still think you could have the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup after Labor Day, a couple weeks after the official end of the tournament season. That can still be its own unique type of event. But after that, that's it. No more golf. I love golf. I love watching golf, but it's too much. And nothing against the Chevron World Challenge. I think it's a great field, but at the same time, do you really think Anthony Kim and Jim Furyk and Vijay Singh are battling in the same kind of mindset that they are like in the midsummer? It just seems like the silly season just goes on too long.
Well, it has that title for a reason. But, if we get rid of the silly season, where's Fred Couples going to make his money?
Good point.
But I'm going to take the other side of this argument. Your argument is basically in favor of the opinions of the Tiger Woods, the Phil Mickelsons, and the elite echelon who want to play less tournaments and want a compressed season because they don't need the tournaments. They're going to play 18 to 21 events, and they're saying, just give us the marquee events, we'll play our events, and that'll be the end of it. The problem with that is you've got a field of 150 players that are exempt every year, and on top of that, that's simply out of the Q school and money list. Now you add to that prior winners who may be exempt for other reasons, but not on the 150. So you're really looking at a field of potentially about 175 players who have a legitimate chance week in and week out of getting a spot. Now, if we compress the number of events, all we're doing is taking the money from the sponsors in the tournaments and we're top-loading that money into the best players in the world. They need the full 150 players to make the product work. They can't simply ignore these other players. And when you do, when you reduce those fields, what you do is you're taking away ability for the other players to make money. Now, if you go to the tour policy board meetings, that's what the rank and file will talk about. They'll talk about the fact that, the elite players only have to play 18 events because the purses are so high in those events, and you're perpetuating that existence, and it makes it much more difficult for the lower-ranked players to move up into the better rankings, to get their ranking points, to make the major tournaments because, you know, you're looking at top 50 in the rankings for some of these events. But I agree with you. It's too much dang golf. And the silly season, the nice thing about silly season, though, is most of it's charity-related. And you can turn it on or turn it off. I tend to not watch too much golf like you after once the tour championship's over, I'm pretty much not watching golf anymore.
And I'm the same way. And I'll watch the Ryder Cup. I'll watch the President's Cup for that drama because they're so unique in those types of formats and those types of things. But, you know, and I think you make a good point, Peter. Some of these other guys don't have – they need to make their money. So, unfortunately, you know, or fortunately for them, these are the types of events that they have to enter. Not this one per se, this World Challenge, because this is such a unique, high-profile field. But I'm talking about, you know, fall series type events after you get through the FedEx Cup. Those things just have such a minor league feel to them. And my only thing is I don't mind that in a way. I think they should – and maybe instead of Q School or in conjunction with a Q School, have those fall series where you kind of eliminate guys that are in like the top 40 or whatever it is, and say this is it's going to be a B level event. I understand the viewership or whatever is not going to be there for that at the same time, but maybe you can somehow build some momentum for that or build some if a guy wins a fall series event or if the top five guys or whatever it's going to be, have some kind of a system where guys that would win those events would have their tour card for the next year, even though I know, you know, if they do win it, they're having enough money to do that. But a guy like Davis Love winning at Disney did absolutely nothing for me. I'm like, he should not be playing in this. And, you know, congratulations to him. He got a lifetime exemption because that was his 20th win or whatever it is. But Davis Love should absolutely not be playing in those events. Phil Mickelson shouldn't be playing in fall series events. And you know, Justin Leonard did a great job last year of regaining his tour card for this year by winning at least one. He won that Texas Valero Open or whatever it was, and I think he won another one. But I don't get a thrill for watching guys who had won majors playing, you know, in these, you know, fall series events and ratcheting up the money and then utilizing that for the following season. I just think there's got to be a better system than that.
Well, baseball. There are baseball fans who are really into statistics and looking at the numbers. The fall series, for the golf fan, you've almost got to be one of those numbers kind of guys. Take one of our local guys, Robert Allenby. He played in a number of the fall series events for a significant reason. He was trying to improve his status and move into the top 10 on the money list. Now, he finished 11th, but he had two shots in there to actually move up and win an event. I mean, a guy like Robert, who hasn't won, I think, since 2002, that would have been a big thing for him. Get another win under his belt. There's a two-year exemption for the win. So if you win, forget the money. You get your exemption anyway. It's a two-year exemption for the win. And then I actually like the fall chase because I like watching the money list. But, you know, when it comes to golf, I'm one of those geeks who looks at the statistics. And I like to see the guys who are choking their guts out trying to get into that 125 on the money list. That's more entertaining to me than watching the marquee players. And I agree with you. I mean, other than a guy who, in like Robert's situation, was trying to move into the top 10 for a very specific reason for financial purposes, there's not a whole lot of appeal in it. But most of them aren't playing. And Davis had a horrible year. And so there is a good reason for him to be playing at Disney. He's trying to finish the year off with something positive, and it was nice to see him win.
Pat Rooney, Peter Bernhard here on the Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. 888-760-ESPN, 888-760-3776, number to call in and talk some golf if you like. I just think, Peter, that, you know, there's got to be, and this is sort of a problem I have with NASCAR, and I'm not a huge NASCAR fan, but I do follow it. My kids love it, so I follow it to some extent. Like when they have the Busch Series or whatever it's called now, the night before, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Jimmy Johnson, those guys are running in that also. I just think that's, it defeats the purpose of it. Those series are kind of developmental type things where you want younger guys in there to see what they can do, hone their skills a little bit, and then get into the big show. Same thing. I think you could do something like that for golf. I'm not a mastermind at what that is. I just think the golf season for the real true pros, the guys that are in that top 40, should be from like mid-February to Labor Day. That's when they should play. That's the big stage. That's when we've sort of deemed that to be golf season. That's when most of us play and get into our own tournaments, and the mindset's right there. When you get away from that, it sort of feels like these guys are cherry-picking events. Like you're saying, Phil, Davis Love, I'm not disparaging him. The opportunity was there, and he took it. But that field is such a weak field that a guy like Davis Love, you know, who hasn't been playing real good, is able to turn it on for that week and end up winning it. But you need to see some of the younger guys that are coming up and give them real opportunities to win those tournaments, because once they win and they can get that mindset that, hey, I can beat some of these guys, maybe that'll then transfer into the big show, you know, during the summer. And the other thing about golf that is so strange, same thing in NASCAR to some extent, is that a lot of their big events are kind of in the middle part of their year, and then it just peters out at the end where, you know, I know they're trying with the FedEx Cup, and that, you know, there's a little bit of contrived drama for me right now. I'll watch it because, again, most of the good players are playing in it, but it hasn't caught on with me yet. And then you just go to this fall series stuff for 6 or 7 weeks, and there's nothing there for me. And I always feel like you should end your show kind of like the NFL does, not with the Pro Bowl, but with the Super Bowl, and that's it, and everybody goes home happy. But I don't know what the solution is. I just don't like the way it is right now.
You just made my point. There's the Pro Bowl. there's this football silly season. But it's only one event. I'm going to give you a tip on the FedEx Cup to get you more involved.
All right, hit me with it.
All right, on the FedEx Cup, instead of watching the top guys, watch the bottom. The guys who just get in, because this year there was more movement on the bottom. You had guys in the 150 who knocked other guys out. The elimination side of it is actually far more interesting than the top side of it. And obviously this year was far more interesting because Vijay was done with the top after two events. He had already won. They've got to fix that. And I think they've made some tweaks this year to the FedEx Cup. Fincham understands that the FedEx Cup isn't creating the drama that it's supposed to create yet. And we'll see what happens this year. I mean, it took them years to tweak, the Chase in NASCAR? And they're still tweaking.
Still tweaking it.
And what was it, like this year, Jimmy Johnson basically just had to go around the track and sit around in the back of the pack somewhere, finish the race, just don't
finish
crash.
Finish the race, right.
Which is sort of what happened with Vijay as well. Play 18 holes, don't break your ankle, and you got $10 million.
and that's, you're right. Hey, I'm glad they're trying. At least they're trying to come up with something. I just don't know if this is it, or, you know, you talk about looking at those guys at the back. That you're right. That's where there's some drama. Unfortunately for TV, they're not playing up on those guys per se. You're still following Vijay. Vijay hit a shot, by the way, in that last round in Atlanta. That absolutely, you could tell, it was like a 3-wood to a par 5, no real trouble anywhere, and I'm watching him, and he didn't even really go through a pre-shot routine. It was just like you said, he's like, I'm just trying to get through this round. He took the club, looked sort of where he wanted to hit it, just cut just cut it off the face of the earth, and didn't even look like he was upset. It was like, all right, let's just go find it and hit it up there. So you're getting no real drama out of Vijay there because he, like you said, all he's doing is he's can post a 90 and he's going to win the thing. But that's you need to keep this thing fresh and you need to keep it moving in some way. But you know, that's where Tim Finch is, and he's going to have to earn his money. I just think too much of a good thing is not a good thing. And I think they need to realize that in some way and not oversaturate us with golf and try and make everything special, because then nothing ends up being special.